Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel is your go-to spot for all things tractor and heavy equipment. From sales to service and even locating that hard-to-find part, we can handle it all. We even have rentals. For all your tractor and heavy equipment needs, visit Southern Equipment in Laurel or call 601-651-4555.
All pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. New week of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Bob Getty, Dima Mixon. We're in the Southern Bancorp studio right here in Hattiesburg. We're glad you're with us. Opening segment of our show today is sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Excuse me, great friends of ours. Great place to cater your first tailgate with football season just around the corner. They do a fabulous job of tailgating at Dickey's, and of course, it is a great place to enjoy dinner any night of the week with your family right here in Hattiesburg. What a way to kick off the week. The legendary Reggie Collier will be joining us here very shortly, going to spend a couple of segments here with us in the studio. Haven't had the perfect 10 on in a while. Looking forward to visiting with Reggie Collier. Opening segment of the show, again, sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue. I want to thank all of our sponsors. Remind you about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. You can hear it anytime on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn. You can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. All right, Dima Mixon, you were there bright and early, 7:15 Saturday morning at the first full tilt football scrimmage. And before we get to the sound bites, just give me your walkaway impression from what you saw Saturday, Dima.
Yeah, so on Saturday, Southern Miss took the field for their first full scrimmage. They ran a little bit of scrimmage, quote-unquote, for last Tuesday when it was their first time to be in full pads. They ran about 50-55 snaps. But on Saturday, they ran 90-95 snaps. They ran about 2.5 quarters of offense. It was pretty good. They ran probably about an hour or so of just going all the way. So you're going 25-yard line to the end zone, and then they ran some high red zone stuff, and then they ran two more drills at the end that was just kind of drives. And I had three main takeaways, and I wrote about all of them if you want to go read my stuff. But my three main takeaways was, first was the quarterback battle, obviously, is everybody, what everybody talks about. It's the most important thing. I think it's safe to say, at least now, that Tate Rodemaker has the edge in the quarterback battle. He's out, quote-unquote, in front. If I was just having it from a person who's watching, you know, he goes first in most every drill now, and he had a great week last week outside of that one day on Monday, which we reported on here, obviously, and Will Hall would be the first to tell you that he didn't have a great day Monday, but man, he had a great response day on Tuesday after that. And then Saturday, 9 for 16, 152 yards and a touchdown. He looked in command. He looked like he understood the offense in a way that I probably haven't seen him do that before. He made two just incredible plays, and I'll explain them to you. So the first one was 4th and goal on the 1. Southern Miss has had this long history for some reason of not being able to punch it in the goal line. I don't understand what it is. So it's 4th and goal on the 1. He tries a screen to his left to Ty Mims. It's not there. So, you know, when you don't have a screenplay that works, you're kind of scrambling. So he started left, then he rolled to his right, and he found Larry Simmons in the back of the end zone for a touchdown. And it was just a play that's just like, that's a play the starting quarterback makes. And it's not that Ethan Crawford wasn't making some of those plays, but that is the play that just starts to separate you a little bit. The second one was a play where, you know, Ty Mims wasn't having a lot of action early on in that scrimmage. Tate Rodemaker took the snap. He, you know, faked the handoff. He rolled out to his right, was looking. He threw a throw probably 40, 45 yards down the field to Ty Mims, who wasn't even there yet. And somehow he put it in the perfect spot in between three or four defenders. Ty Mims right under it in the right perfect amount of time. Will Hall called it an NFL throw, and I would call it that as well. So I would say that's my first one. The second one is the offensive line. We have a soundbite about this in a second, but the offensive line probably had its best day of the whole camp, and I keep saying that because it keeps getting better. Their pass protection is probably at the best it's been in the Hall era. And he was the first one to tell you this. This is a new-look offensive line. A lot of these players are new players who were transfers and who are just excelling. And just that is a grown man offensive line. The depth of talent there is not even is something to mention as well. It's not just those front five. The guys behind those have looked great as well. There's still some improvement some places in there. And then one of the biggest questions coming into the whole camp was wide receiver. Are they going to be able to answer those questions? And it really feels like they are. You know, they have three guys right now who's really been separating themselves, and Dennis Jackson, Larry Simmons, that they also have Dakota Thomas, and obviously Ty Mims, all those players returning. So really positive day. There's a full breakdown of what I wrote that you can go read, but that's my three immediate takeaways.
First time in a long time I've heard someone say the offensive line looks really good, and that's I know we always talk about the quarterback, I get it, but I don't think there's anything any more important on this team to get to the number of wins everybody's hoping they get to than offensive line play, and you're very impressed with that, I can see.
Yes, and Will Hall is as well. Let's hear his thoughts on the offensive line after Saturday's scrimmage.
Much probably best, you know. I mean, y'all know, man, our O-line's a real college O-line now, so it's just a different deal, you know, and it's just they're a lot better playing against a good D-line. I thought at times we got good pass rush. I thought, you know, Chip did a good job of mixing the pocket movements and not just standing in the pocket. The screens, the movements, the play actions, things to not let them know it's pass until it is pass. You know, he does a great job of that. And then we've improved a lot on O-line, you know. We got two great O-line coaches. One's one of the best in the country. He's proven, you know, everybody in the country. And we've recruited well and developed well, and I'm excited about that group. I think they're deep and talented, and they're really hungry.
Yeah, so that was Will Hall's thoughts on the offensive line after Saturday scrimmage. And when you look at that line and what they've been able to do this so far in camp, I'm just thinking about not necessarily what they're going to be like on week one against Kentucky, but what is the possibility of what they're like on week seven, week eight, when they're starting to even develop more and more snaps?
And you can't overlook the fact they're playing against a really good defensive line. It's not like that, you know, Southern Miss doesn't have any defensive linemen, so the O-line looks all big and strong. They're playing against what will probably be as good a defensive line as there is in the conference.
Yeah, and when you look at that defensive line, and I can run through them, Jaleel Clemens, Jalen Williams, Armandus Cooley, D'Amico Rowland, all of those players, and several others that I haven't mentioned as well that, you know, Will might get on to me for not mentioning all the backups because they're just as good. You know, those players are a top-level off defensive line, potentially the best in the Sun Belt, and that's the strength of this team the whole time.
Right.
And it's just these other areas are starting to show even potential, even not as equal of a strength, but a strength that's good enough to win football games, and that's what Will Hall has to do this season. And one of those areas is the wide receiver room, which in my opinion was one of the biggest question marks coming into the season about what they're going to do. Here's Will Hall's thoughts on the wide receivers after Saturday's scrimmage.
Wide receivers from today, kind of what'd you see there?
Well, Ty Mims explosive, Larry Simmons explosive. You know, help me out there.
Dennis,
obviously early explosive. I mean, those guys can play. I mean, they're highly recruited guys. You know, I mean, everybody in the Southern United States wanted Larry and Dennis, and every group of five in the Southern United States wanted Ty. So you're throwing a guy's catching it that was, you know, a lot of people wanted for a lot of reasons. And they've had good camps and they're doing it. Davis Dalton, we've been very precautious with him. He should be getting back into the fold next week. Be excited to get him back. Keyshawn Buckley's explosive too. He's coming on. Dakota Thomas is coming on. And oh, Chandler Pittman.
Yeah,
Chandler. Chandler's so consistent. You almost, you know, but early seam ball right there, and just a great young man. So, like I said from the jump, you know, that was kind of the question mark of the offseason. Everybody kept asking me, but you know, all I can say is we've recruited really good, and they're good kids and working hard. And you can see the growth in them and how they're getting better.
So that was his thoughts on the wide receivers. And I will say Dennis Jackson was in contact today. He was still had that red jersey on, but he was in his pads, I think, for the first time in a few days in fall camp. So he was running through the reps there. But as he said, all those players in the wide receiver room, really impressive. And the backups there are just as impressive as the starters.
All right, what about defensively?
defensively, this looks good. Again, the defensive line looks solid. The linebackers are still, I'd like to see a little bit more stuff from them. The secondary, to me, has been the most up and down of camp. They have a really good day, then a kind of an off day, then a really good day, then a kind of an off day. Today, they kind of held out Elijah Sabatini. He's still coming back from that knee injury. He's fine. There's nothing to worry about. They're just kind of resting him after a pretty tough and physical day on Saturday. And then, but they got Quez McNeil back in full contact. He actually wasn't in full contact Saturday, but he was still on the field. So there was a play where J.Q. Gray, he had a long touchdown run, but they called it back because Quez McNeil touched him. It was it was two-hand touch football, so.
All right, you're off the four. You're off the prediction.
I'm not giving any predictions until my official prediction comes out probably next Friday.
Can we say it's trending in the right direction?
It's trending in a direction. Again, there's still a lot there's a lot to glean. There's a lot to glean. I haven't come up with a final prediction yet, but I'm sure that when my final prediction comes out, I'm sure you, Kelly, all of my followers on Twitter will let me know about how much they disagree with it.
All right, if our next guest who's just pulling up had another year of eligibility, I'd be predicting 11 wins.
Yeah, maybe 17. Yeah.
Reggie Collier is next on the Eagle Hour.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, thanks to Dima, doing a great job. Dima covering football practice, really gives some great insight, and we're going to try to get out there tomorrow morning, get some player interviews in addition to the work that Dima does each and every day. This segment is sponsored by Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street, where you'll find all your Southern Miss apparel, and where Miss Kathleen is just the finest lady on the planet. All right, our next guest needs no introduction. I think if you went back the 10 years that we've been on the air, Reggie's done as many shows probably as I have.
Yeah, you're getting a bigger check than me.
How are you, 10? The perfect 10 back in the studio.
I'm good.
So at Campus Bookmart, Reggie, all those jerseys down there, there's so many of them that have 10 on them.
Right.
That's because of you, right?
I guess. I don't see the name on the back, so.
I saw Brett Favre's wife down there one time. We were actually doing a remote there, and she was looking at all the 10s, and I heard her say, "Why are there no 4s? I have no idea, lady. All right, I don't want to embarrass this guy. I've said this before, though, and Reggie has been on the show a lot. The greatest Southern Miss football player I ever saw play. You ever get tired of hearing that?
It's an ultimate compliment. I mean, think about it. I hadn't played football in 44 years at Southern Miss.
Right. Has it been that long?
It's been that long. In 1979, I got here. So, and here it is, 2024.
Right.
So, the fact that, people still remember.
Says it all.
Yeah. When I played. And it's... it's an honor that people recognize the name. Don't too much know the face anymore because, of course, I'm a little bit older. But, they know the name, and it's just an honor for that to happen. And it's a testament of what we did while I was there. Me and the guys I played with, what we did and what we accomplished when I was at Southern Miss.
You know, Reggie, the landscape was so different back then. As I was telling you, and as I've told you a million times before, my wife and I very rarely ever missed a game the years you were playing, and it didn't matter where, what part of the country we traveled to. Hell, we had every expectation of winning the football game. And I know that when we went to Alabama and Auburn and Georgia and Florida State and places like that, they knew that there was a 50-50 chance they could lose.
Yeah.
Has the atmosphere changed so much that schools like Southern Miss will never be in that position again? And not just Southern Miss, but the schools that many that you competed against.
Yeah, you have the schools like the, everything is separated now. You know, you got the Power Four and those schools, and the gap, not only in talent, but the gap in money.
There's the gap.
That's
right.
The gap.
Right.
And that's the thing that's the you know, because there's so much money that's being, I mean, it's a multi-billion dollar industry, college football.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about making money. Mm-hmm. And the big boys are continually making money. But that revenue is top heavy. So, I can say it's top heavy. The big boys are getting all the money. And the other schools that aren't in those Power Four conferences, that money is just not available for them.
Right.
So it's a matter of need and want. You know, the Power Four schools, a coach can go into an athletic director, or athletic director can tell the coach, what do you want? Georgia, Alabama, Auburn, Mississippi State, what do you want? Whereas schools like Southern Miss and schools, it's a what do you need?
Right.
You know, it's a big difference in what you need and what you want.
Right.
So along with everything else that's going on in college football, the talent doesn't stay here long. So even if we did get a bumper crop of talent for 1 year, it'll be gone the next because we can't afford to keep them.
Correct. Correct.
So,
and that wasn't when you played. And, you know, I look back, we could pick a number of teams. But let's just pick the team that you were with on the same field with Sammy Wander. And I don't want to leave anybody out.
I'll name some for you. So, you got Sammy. You have Lewis.
Lewis Lip.
Marvin right. Harvey. You have Hanford Dixon. You had Gerald Bayless. You had Richard Byrd. Glenn Howe. Sam DeJarnette.
So all those guys you're naming, and you're obviously on that list, hell, there'd have been people offering you money right and left.
Yeah, legally.
Would the team have stayed together, you think?
No. Probably not. With today's climate, you take yesterday's talent and put it in the climate of today. I can't get mad at a kid for leaving to make more money because it's about time they got paid. Because like I said before, this is a multi-billion dollar money-making machine that the NCAA has developed. And here you have your talent, your main product that makes this all happen. You're not paying it. Mm. You know, I really believe if this football machine we're talking about was any other industry, they would be arrested for child labor laws.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. You got 17, 18, 19-year-old kids making all this money and not getting paid. Yeah, scholarship is great. Don't get me wrong. The scholarship, the pride, your school, what you do at your school and when you represent the school, that can never be replaced. It's great. But when you have coaches making $9-10 million a year, and you've got an abundance of coaches, and I'm referencing to some of the bigger schools, the Power Four schools, the Alabamas, the Auburns. Coaches are making this enormous amount of money off the talent, which is all these kids. And you hear a lot about, oh, these kids, there's no way they should. Well, why wouldn't they?
Yeah.
No one says anything to anyone else when you leave one job to another job
right.
to secure your future financially.
Right.
That's not being said, but right. when it comes to these athletes, it's different now. How they did it, I blame the NCAA for that, because for so long the NCAA was just not going to do it. And, you know, you let it go through the court system, yeah, which is a big thing now that didn't happen 20 years ago, the legal aspect of things. Right. You know, players suing. And then when it finally got to the Supreme Court, the NCAA put all the eggs in one basket. They didn't have a backup plan.
Right.
All right. When that backup, and when they lost, the genie's out the bottle. And you can't put smoke back in the bottle, and you can't catch smoke.
Right.
And that's where we are right now. Now you're trying to regulate it. So how can you regulate it? I mean, so if you try to regulate it now, that you're going to go to court again, because a player of today or the player of next year is going to say, no, I want to get the same I want to get the same money that these kids before me got 2 years ago. Why are you denying me that possibility to make that kind of money? So. Yeah.
Yeah. Does it anger you in any way? You'd have made millions of dollars playing college football.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Because
you're just happy these kids are getting it, I guess.
I am. Yeah. I am. And it's long overdue.
Yeah.
It's long overdue.
Who would have been more valuable, you or Sammy?
Here we go. You're going to start some stuff again.
I'm going with you, Reggie.
Yeah, but the thing
let's
about
go with
it
what
is,
numbers on each jersey.
I'm going with Reggie.
Yeah, you know this is the thing. Yeah, you want to think about that and say that. I'm extremely proud to come along when I came along, because I was a part of something that started something here at Southern Miss. I was a part of us being able to do some things that had never been done.
No question about that. No question.
You know, so yeah, it's just like I'm like anybody else who will play the what if game. And but you know, I'm extremely fortunate to be at the right place at the right time when it came to my athletic career here at Southern Miss, because like I said before, it's some things that you just can't replace. I mean, being the first to be able to do anything, you know, says a lot, and that can't be taken away from you. You know, so, you know, like I said, our team, you know, was first. I mean, it's no big deal now to play on TV because of
it was then.
It was then.
Yeah.
You know, but we were the first to play on TV, first go to a bowl game, first to be ranked and then to be ranked in the top 10. You know, those kind of things, you know.
You can't put a price on.
Yeah. No, you can't. I can, but but it's just one of those unique things that, like I said, when you're part of being a group of people who did something for the first time, it just kind of resonates with you.
All right, we've got the great Reggie Collier in the studio. We're not going to let him go. We're going to keep him the rest of the show. More with 10 right after this.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, 4th Street Bar and Grill sponsors this segment of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Great place for lunch. Great place to take your better half for a good meal in the evening. And, of course, always the best place to watch Southern Miss sports. Let's get right back to it. Reggie Collier in the studio with us. Want to get Dima involved in this, obviously. Before, one more question for me, though, Reggie. Quarterback competition right now, everything Dima reports back to us, they're getting the same number of snaps with the number one O-line. Stats were pretty much the same in the scrimmage. Dima thought that one maybe stepped out a little over the other, but basically everything seems even. So how do you make a decision?
Yeah, it's difficult, especially in today's climate, how they do things. trying to protect players during practice. So you don't get the opportunity to see what a quarterback, receiver, whoever it is, how they react under fire. All right, so with the quarterbacks them being protected with the red shirt on, if you're getting pass rush, how do you react if it's a live situation? All right, do you fold? Do you give in to the pressure? Do you create something? Can you turn a negative into a positive? Those kind of things can't be simulated because in today's environment, because of the safety aspect of things, I would say that. Because you get close to them, they blow the whistle. You touch them, they blow the whistle. Or it's a dead ball. But in a live situation, what do you do? Because in practice, they know they're not going to get hit.
Right.
I mean, you have the issue of protecting the ball. Getting hit. You know, I can't imagine, and I know they do it, but I can't imagine the last time I was hit, which would be in December, to the next time I got hit as far as physical contact would be the following September.
Yeah.
You didn't have to worry about
that. No, we didn't. I didn't. I mean, but, yeah. You know, and I can only relate to when I was playing is that I think that's what kind of separated me from everybody else when we did have practices, because during the drills and everything else, I mean, everybody else was there on scholarship too. So we had athletes. But I think when we had scrimmages, when we were able to show what we could do when things broke down or what we could do with our athletic ability in certain situations, turn a negative into a positive. Even if it's something as simple as taking a 8-7-8 yard loss and turning it into a 2-yard gain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those things make a difference. And those things, you know, your teammates see that. All right. And then it gets to a point where you do it enough, everybody knows and expects it of you. All right. So in a situation you get in the huddle and you know it's 3rd and 8. Everybody's looking at you. And you can tell by the look whether they have confidence in you or not. All right. So me personally, there was nothing more satisfying than being in that situation and have 10 other guys look at me and say it, and by them looking at me, having the confidence knowing we're gonna get it done.
Right.
You know, so back to your original question is you got two quarterbacks and you don't really know who's doing what. I've always said if you got two quarterbacks, you don't have one. You ain't got none.
Yeah.
Damon?
Yeah. Well, I would say, first of all, it is worth noting that Hall did allow him to go live in spring.
Okay.
So I think they at least have been hit. But I wanted to go back to what we were talking about in the segment before this, but just about – The NIL, I feel like the shift of the hierarchy of college football, such as the Georgias, the Alabamas, mm-hmm. the top notch of college football, started to peel away, in a sense, from the Southern Misses of the world long before the NIL came in. Do you feel like the NIL is now just the nail in the coffin that it'll never get back to what it was?
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree to that. Because like I said before, there's so much money involved in college football, which created that big divide.
Mm-hmm.
So... I always kind of give people this analogy. You know, people tell me all the time, why can't we get those top athletes anymore? Well, at that time, you either had a chance. I give them this analogy. Okay, you either had a Hilton or Holiday Inn. Which mm-hmm. one do you want to stay? All right. There wasn't much difference. Maybe a little bit of difference. But there wasn't much difference where you could kind of make up for it. Now you got the Beau Rivage and Four Seasons in a Motel 6.
Yeah.
That's the divide that you have.
But it's true.
Yeah, that's true. What you got right now. You got the Four Seasons in New York City and Manhattan. Then you got a Motel 6. And don't get me wrong, and I'm not putting anybody down here in Hattiesburg.
Yeah.
Which kid, that kid, where is he going? He's going to the four seasons.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, that's just it. And then once he gets a taste of that.
Yeah. Where do you think they made the mistake?
By not being getting ahead of this.
Uh-huh.
All right. Letting it go all the way to the Supreme Court. Not having a plan B.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could have, and I think the players would have been fine with this. You could have, NCAA could have come in and said, all right, we're going to have a four-tier system. All right. You got A, B, C, D with so many players in each tier that you're allowed to pay this amount of money with a maximum of this amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so what player is going to go from saying, who's going to say no?
Yeah.
I mean, it's more than what you were getting, which was nothing, and you had a little bit more control over what's being spent now. Now it's the Wild Wild West. If Mississippi State or Ole Miss or whatever decide they want to spend $30 million in 1 year on NIL, they can.
Yeah.
And no one can say nothing about it.
Yep.
Or Ohio State can say, you know what? Ole Miss is spending 30.
We're spending
50.
Yeah.
And then Alabama coming on top of that and say, well, we're going to spend 100.
Yep.
All right, so you may have the same kind, you may have a superior athlete on your team, and all of a sudden, you know what? I want him. Prime example is Caleb Downs from Alabama.
Yes.
Top safety as a freshman class. Started with Alabama last year, went to the national championship game. Now where is he?
Ohio State.
At Ohio State.
Yep.
All right. Now, it's never been said, but we all know why. Ohio State came and gave him a bigger bag.
Yep.
All right. So, you know, that's the state of college football now. And people saying it's going to ruin college football. No. It's just another layer of college football that we didn't have.
Yeah. I've always been under the impression that maybe the Power Four, as you dubbed it, should just split away from the Group of Five to at least make the games here seem more meaningful. What do you think about that position?
I don't know if they'll split willingly. I think they may be forced to split.
Right.
Because the Big Ten and the SEC is going to say to themselves, you know what, NCAA, we don't need you.
Right. Well, I'm surprised they haven't come to that conclusion.
I agree. I mean, because they don't.
Yeah.
I mean, the NCAA, they don't need the NCAA.
Mm-mm.
If they branched off right now and said, you know what, we're going on our own and we're taking our money with us.
Yeah. Because then all the regulations would be gone.
I mean,
you could make your own.
Right. When the last time you seen Ohio State putting on probation? It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, even they tried to do it with Michigan. And Michigan said, y'all can go to hell.
Yeah.
We're going to do what we want to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, they come in, NCAA say, we're going to put you – Tennessee did it last year. So, okay. No, you know, you're not going to do this stuff. So we're going to take you to court.
Yeah.
We got just as much money as we got. Matter of fact, we got more money than you do.
Yeah,
they do. We got more lawyers than you do.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be surprised in the near future if they did separate, you know, and do their own thing.
Would you like that? Would you like that for the Group of Five schools to be able to have their own national championship game?
Well, that's about the only thing they don't have right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because conference-wise, there's no comparison to the Big Ten and SEC. Mm-hmm. They're in. ACC is they're listed as one of the Power Four conferences.
But it's down to two, isn't it, Reggie?
It's down to two. And you don't have to be – I mean, Ray Charles can see that.
Yeah.
I mean
– well, that's something.
You got the Big Ten and you got the SEC.
Right.
Those are the two big dogs on the block. And those big dogs are getting bigger.
Right.
I mean, they're just going to continue to get bigger. So if they decide they want to split, and it would not shock me at all.
Real quickly, 30 seconds before we go to the break, other than money, there was really no reason for Southern Miss to ever play Ohio State in football, was there?
Not now.
I mean, that's what I mean now.
I mean, because with those kind of games, it can cause so many problems for you as a team. And if you want to get into that when we come back, but because it's so deflating when you get to a point where you go into a game and get beat 60 to 20 and you're not even in the game from the beginning.
Right.
Now it'd be different if the separation in talent wasn't as wide.
Right.
But
That never happened to you.
It did one time.
Did it? When we come back, before we let him go, I want to talk about what I think was the greatest moment, the greatest single day in Southern Miss football history. This man was the reason. We'll be right back.
All right.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, DBAT sponsors this segment of the program. A great place for baseball, softball training, and Luke Reynolds is the instructor there, the manager. Right there on Hardy Street, DBAT in Hardy Street. I want to thank Genesis of Hattiesburg, Mobay Beignet Company, Town and Country Cleaners as well for their sponsorship of our program today. All right, we've got Reggie Collier in the studio, last short segment. Reggie, I want to get to this real quick. I want to just think, I want to think back about the good times for a few minutes. Greatest day in my view, Southern Miss history. I looked at a picture of it when I left my office. 38-29 win, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, over the great Bear Bryant. The last football game Bear Bryant ever lost as a coach.
Yeah.
I think they had won, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years in a row without losing a home game.
10 years.
10 years. What do you remember the most about that day, Reggie?
Well, I mean, for us, it was we had just found out we got put on probation. All right. So, for us, we were riding a pretty – it was a disappointing season to a certain extent because of some of the early games we lost, how we lost them. We had a conversation about that, and, like – we lost close games to Ole Miss State. Ole Miss, Florida State, and Auburn early in the year. And then we went on a run, about 6 straight games. And then, of course, anytime you play Alabama, people say all games are the same, but they're not.
Right.
You know.
They're not.
You're playing in Tuscaloosa. You're playing against Bear Bryant. And, you know, previously the year before we had tied them 13-13, which, you know, when we felt like we should have won, but it was a tie. So coming into this this other game, I really didn't, me personally, I didn't know anything about the streak. I didn't until afterwards. But just you playing Alabama. You're playing Coach Bryant. You're playing in Tuscaloosa. If that's not enough fuel for your fire, something is wrong.
Right.
And we had a good game plan. We were excited about the game. We jumped on them real early. Guys had great games, making big plays at certain times. But the game itself, I mean, they just didn't come in. I mean, you have games circled on your schedule when the season comes out. And we were in a position where we felt like certain games we knew we were going to win. Point blank, we were going to win. Then there are other games you were like, yes, this is going to be a different week in preparation for Ole Miss, State, Alabama, Auburn, Florida State. Those were the games, because we basically played that same schedule every year. Those were the games we knew. Tulane, you'd add Tulane to that you were going to have to bring it from start to finish. And because, like you said earlier, we felt like every game we played, we were going to win. There was no moral victories of going to Tuscaloosa and getting beat 28-0 and felt like, okay, well, we stopped them from getting 30. No. If anything, we expected us to have 28, them to have nothing.
Right.
Exactly. You know, so that was our mindset. And then we had the talent to match that mindset. So that particular game, I mean, when it was all said and done, was special. it was special then.
It's still special.
It's still special. I mean, because of who they were, which is Alabama, and
who he was.
And who he was,
yeah.
Which is Coach Paul Bear Bryant.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, it's special. Always has been, always will
it
be.
It always will be.
Yeah.
That's why there's a picture hanging in my office right now. All right, you got a couple minutes. Go ahead. I know you will probably ask Reggie something else.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, I hate to keep going back to the conversation that we were just having, but you're just so insightful on all of it. But where do you think the next 10 years in college football is going to be? Like, there's been so much change over even the last two, you know.
Yeah.
And I just feel like there's so much more to even unpack. You know, now we have a 12-team playoff.
Yeah.
The group of five gets one team in.
Yeah.
Seems kind of just like a, all right, we just have to let y'all in sort of thing.
Yeah, it's constantly evolving, but you know what? It's still exciting.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's the crazy thing about it. I can't wait to that first game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even though, you know, people are dumping on the way things are going with the NIL and everything else, but the basis of it is still the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's still football. It's still college football. And that aspect of it will never end. So there is nothing like going to a college football game on a Saturday morning, whether it be here in Hattiesburg. I still get excited. I don't care who we're playing. It's Saturday night in the fall.
Yeah,
that's great football.
At the Rock.
Yeah, you know. And so, you know, football, you know, whether it be Power Five and the other conferences, wherever it is, it's still a great game.
Yeah,
it still provides that entertainment, that excitement that only happens at this time of year, especially in the South.
Yep.
There's no doubt.
Yeah.
Reggie like Collier, you're the best, man. Will you come back on a regular basis now that we're ready for football again?
Let me know. I'll be here.
I'll be in touch with you. The greatest Southern Miss football player of all time, sitting right to your right, Damon.
Thank you, man.
Reggie Collier, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. And until then, Southern Miss.
Top.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.